Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is WNYC FM HD in AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River, all together the stations of New York and New Jersey Public Radio. I'm Brian Lehrer. Thanks for tuning in today. And we go from our conversation with Joe Loda to now asking what Bill Thompson should do. The Democrats are still sorting out their nominee, with Bill Thompson so far waiting for all the paper ballots to be counted. That would be until at least Monday. The latest math of this seems to be that de Blasio is over the 40% no runoff threshold by about 1,200 votes, but there are about 16,000 votes yet to count. So in theory, de Blasio certainly could wind up with less than 40% at the end of the process, but some of Thompson's supporters are beginning to defect and call for him to avoid a divisive party fight when de Blasio should be focused on winning the general election. And de Blasio did beat him by 14 points, they point out. De Blasio is on the borderline of the runoff threshold, but way in front of Thompson. So, Democratic listeners, what do you think? Should Thompson fight on or get out of Bill de Blasio's way? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Democrats, after hearing Joe Loda make his case for crossover voters just now, would you consider being a Democrat for Joe Loda, especially if you didn't vote for de Blasio on Tuesday, or if you have voted for Bloomberg or Giuliani in the past, despite being a Democrat? Are you open to considering a Republican mayoral nominee again? Could you be a Loda Democrat? And what should Bill Thompson do for Thompson supporters? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or use any of our social media. And while your calls are coming in, WNYC political reporter Anna Sale on the Thompson beat today. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Brian.
Is the Thompson beat very active today? Are you following him from place to place all around town?
The Thompson beat is pretty quiet because there's actually no public schedule for the Bill Thompson campaign today.
What do you take that to mean?
I take it to mean he's talking to his supporters. I take it to mean he's having closed-door meetings and trying to figure out what to do next, if there is a path to victory, and if there's not, what to do about it.
There have already been some defections from key Thompson supporters. Can you lay out who some of them are?
Well, I wouldn't use the word defection, but the most kind of striking quote we saw yesterday was from Meryl Tisch, who was the chairperson of his campaign, and she told WNYC's Yasmin Khan yesterday that she considered Bill de Blasio's victory deep and wide. She called it a broad victory. She said, "I think the people have spoken. They've spoken decisively." So that's quite a statement in terms of whether Bill de Blasio is going to be their Democratic nominee. The other names we've heard, the Times this morning reported that Al Sharpton has encouraged his old friend Bill Thompson to get out of the race. So certainly probably a lot of, you know, private conversations happening.
And I heard some of the unions that had supported him in the primary, like 32BJ, the building workers union.
Well, actually, 32BJ supported Christine Quinn.
Oh.
So what we're seeing now is the unions that supported Christine Quinn saying, "Oh, we're going to get on this Bill de Blasio train," because and rallying around him. Who we haven't heard from is the UFT, the big labor union endorser of Bill Thompson. On election night, he told Michael Mulgrew, the head of the union, told our Beth Fertig that we are going to make a winner, that we are in this. We haven't heard more from them. But as far as this consolidation around Bill de Blasio, 32BJ is among them. There's a rally at noon today that the de Blasio campaign is calling a rally for progressive change, and labor unions will be there. So they are certainly trying to create the optics that there is a consolidation happening around Bill de Blasio while Bill Thompson is out of the scene.
Why would the UFT want to lead this likely losing fight and risk alienating the most likely next mayor of the city of New York?
I think at this point the question is, does the UFT wait to hear from Thompson, or do they make a move before Thompson does? And in as they picked Bill Thompson when the primary field was had many people in it. And so they're probably going to wait to see if Bill Thompson says, you know what, looking at the numbers, I'm going to get out. And then they will then move over to Bill
Thompson. But that makes it seem like the UFT is waiting to see what he will do. I think the quote that you were referring to made it sound like Michael Mulgrew, the head of the UFT, wants to lead this fight.
Well, that's what he was saying on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
So we will see if that changes.
Okay.
The question is, does the UFT take the step before the Thompson campaign does? And I would expect that the Thompson campaign would be the one speaking first.
Now I'm going to throw in one historical stat to scramble people's brains here. In 2001, we looked it up this morning, Mark Green lost to Fernando Ferrer by 36,000 votes in the first round of the primary. There was a runoff, though, which he ended winning by 16,000 votes. So again, Mark Green lost to Ferrer by 36,000 votes in the first round of the primary, which Ferrer almost got to 40% in. And then Green ended up winning by 16,000 votes in the runoff. So, you know, Thompson is down by significantly more, 91,000 votes to de Blasio compared to that 36,000. But a comeback would not be unprecedented.
So there's two questions then. First is, did the Bill Thompson campaign look at the numbers and think that based on the uncounted paper ballots that they actually have the capacity to get that net number of votes to pull Bill de Blasio under that 40% threshold that we're seeing in the uncertified results so far? Then it's a separate question if Bill Thompson thinks with a runoff electorate, if he would have a pathway to victory. Does low turnout in a mayoral runoff benefit him? Does pulling over some perhaps moderate Christine Quinn supporters benefit him? And so that's separate math than the question of first, does he think a runoff is actually possible once these votes all get counted?
Let's hear what some voters think. Michael in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Thompson supporter, right?
Yeah, hi. I actually voted for Bill Thompson. And I don't think it's a question of should he fight or not. If the threshold of 40% was not reached, I think he should continue.
Thank you very much. Here's another one. Bob in Brooklyn. Bob, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hello, Brian. Yeah, I voted for Thompson. Absolutely no way will I vote for Bill de Blasio. I think he does not have a mandate. There's a good chance he could slip under 40%. You know, it's also whatever Quinn supporters are out there, too, that still have to be counted. And I live in a very, you know, heavily Democratic area, Marine Park. This is heavily moderate, conservative, Democrat, small homeowners. They will not be voting for de Blasio. I will vote for La Jolla. And, you know, de Blasio also, the city council put a $400 tax rebate several years ago to help relieve the burden of property taxes. And I used that money to pay my home heating oil bill. De Blasio was against it. Thompson had the courage to say no increases in property taxes for the small homeowners. So I will vote my own interest. I will vote for La Jolla, but I would vote for Thompson against La Jolla.
Bob, thank you very much. Anna, that's very interesting. The La Jolla aside, I guess that would be Jay Laho in the nickname version. But there's one articulation of a divide between Thompson and de Blasio voters, at least some of them that might be fairly strong. Sandra in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Sandra.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
Good.
Good. I was a de Blasio supporter. I am still a de Blasio supporter. I believe that the best chance we have to win in the general election is if we start the general election now. I would ask Bill Thompson out of party unity, and because he loves this city, loves the children of this city, that he step aside and say, let's move on.
Sandra,
extremely important.
Thank you very much. Anna Sale, what's the case that the de Blasio campaign is making, if they're making it themselves? Maybe it's just supporters like Sandra who are making the case so far, about how bad it might be to wait, how much of a competitive disadvantage in this election, which doesn't take place until November, would it be for Bill de Blasio, if he is the eventual nominee, to wait at least until Monday for all the votes to be counted, and then if he is under 40%, to go through a runoff process, which would end October 1st?
Well, I think the de Blasio campaign obviously has an interest in really underscoring their victory in Tuesday's returns. And so that's what why we're seeing them with this huge rally that they're trying to plan with progressives and labor unions at noon today to demonstrate that he really is the consensus candidate for Democrats. And that is to kind of suggest to Bill Thompson to get out of the way, but also would be the start of a general election campaign. And Bill de Blasio heads from that rally at noon to then Al Sharpton's show on MSNBC tonight. He's going to be on a national that show making that case for a progressive leadership of New York City. And so I think what's interesting, the thing I want to listen to, is how Bill de Blasio talks at this noon rally, how he talks when he's speaking with Al Sharpton. Does he talk about the status quo interest who will be rallying against him and trying to really continue this progressive charge towards City Hall? Or do we hear him moderating a bit and shifting his message to appeal to a general electorate?
And by the way, on this notion that a lot of people have, that it would be a very low turnout runoff because fewer people vote in runoffs than in primaries, and few enough people vote in primaries, as we know. But we looked this one up, and in 2001, the turnout in the runoff between Ferrer and Mark Green was just about the same. In fact, it was slightly higher than in the primary. So Thompson couldn't count on a lower voter turnout. Neither side could. He would actually potentially have to win over those who voted in the primary for other candidates or energize a huge new swath to come out.
Interesting.
Let's go to another caller, Jean Marie, at work in Westchester. But you vote in the city, Jean Marie?
Not anymore.
Okay.
I've moved.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you for taking my call. I actually, I just wanted to say that I like Bill de Blasio, and if I still lived in the city, I'd vote for him. However, I feel that every vote should count, and I don't see the harm in counting everyone's vote until Monday. I think if our country actually allowed every vote to count, we would never have had Bush as president.
So the echoes of Bush versus Gore, even in a Democratic primary in New York City. Jean, thank you very much. Peter in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. So I was a Quinn supporter, and I am going to vote for Joe Loda. I'm generally a pretty liberal guy. I'm a small business owner, but I tend to vote left. But I think running the city, I want someone more in the center, and I something about de Blasio just rubs me the wrong way, and it's a visceral response also.
When you say more in the center, on any particular issues?
I would say certainly what Joe Loda was talking about dividing the city and housing and as far as inequality of, income inequality, taxes. It bothers me that I really get the feeling that de Blasio is just another tax and spend liberal. And as a liberal myself, I never would have thought I would have said something like that. But I think this city kind of needs, a hard, tough. I know. I was a Giuliani supporter until he went sort of crazy towards the end. And I've generally liked a lot of Bloomberg's policies, with a few exceptions that I really hated. But generally, I think the city's been on a good track.
Thank you for your call, Peter. I appreciate it. So WNYC political reporter Anna Sale, there are some potential Democrats for Joe Loda out there.
Yeah, and I thought that I was going to ask him how he felt about Rudy Giuliani. And that is interesting that he at one point did support Rudy Giuliani, because my question is for Democrats who might be willing to look at a Republican mayoral candidate. Does the Giuliani factor, how does that play?
Meanwhile, The Post has three keys to victory for de Blasio in the paper today, assuming he's the nominee. One, reassure the business community that he'll be a willing partner and solid fiscal manager. Two, reassure the public he'll keep them safe from crime. And number three, don't let Dante get a haircut until November 5th. So we'll leave Dante's fashion choices up to him. But do you see de Blasio pivoting on the other two yet?
I think that you played some tape yesterday where during even his speech at the end of the primary night, he was in some ways, trying to present that he could be a mayor for all. But I think that these couple of days are where the complicating question about whether there's going to be a runoff or not that's what makes this a little bit interesting, because de Blasio can't just launch into his general electorate. Because he needs to first make the case that he is the Democrats' pick.
Good point. Mary in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I was going to say pretty much what the lady from Westchester said, which is that, you know, if de Blasio is only over the 40% threshold by 1,200 votes and there are 18,000 uncounted, I don't see how Thompson can step down. It disenfranchises all those absentee ballots, and that for it actually disenfranchises all of us.
Mary, thank you very much. And I would say, you know, from the informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific polling department, that that's the preponderance of the calls that we're getting, that people want to respect the voters. It's not so much about Thompson even, but that all these people who cast paper ballots for one reason or another, that there were problems at their polling place on election day, or they are out of town and they cast absentee ballots in advance, or they're in the military. And of course, those are paper ballots. People are saying, respect those voters and don't concede until all the votes are counted, at least. And then you'll see if you're at 40.01 or 39.99 and you want to make some kind of other decision.
And if that is the case, then the spotlight is going to be right on the City Board of Elections. And not only are
the good old, highly competent, unpoliticized City Board of Elections.
Exactly. Because if it comes down to, not only is it a compressed campaign schedule because the runoff is scheduled for less than 3 weeks away, and then a general election a month after that. So that's a compressed campaigning schedule. But then getting all of those votes counted and certified in the midst of that compressed campaigning schedule is going to mean a lot of eyeballs on the Board of Elections and their process.
Is it a complicated process? Is it controversial? I realize a recount is always controversial. If it's extremely close, like we saw in Bush versus Gore, but to complete the initial count, would there be lawyers on two sides of the table disputing any number of ballots as to whether it's validly cast or not and things like that?
Well, this Bridget Bergen is our resident expert on all this stuff. But again, remember, we use the lever machines. So on Friday, the opening of the machines and the counting of the actual machines is happening. And then separately, the counting of the paper ballots is set to begin on Monday. So we don't have that paper trail of the optical scan ballots because we used the lever machine. So it's going back to the old processes we used when we used those machines.
So since you're on the Thompson beat today, are they saying anything? You're saying he doesn't have a public schedule as he's apparently figuring out his next step. Are they releasing any statement to the media about what he's doing or what he's thinking?
They are very much talking about for planning purposes and not saying anything on the record, and he has no public schedule. So I'm certain when he has something to say, they will let us know. But for now, Bill Thompson isn't communicating his intentions to the public.
WNYC political reporter Anna Sale, I know you'll keep us posted.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, 3 innovative ways to make college a better deal. Stay with us.